Hello, friends. This is Brian Little, the host of the Your Favorite Blockhead podcast, available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And you know, for the longest time as a podcaster, the question was always asked, how do you get sponsors to come to the table and promote their brands on your show? And I never had a great answer for you. Until now, that has been resolved with Podcorn.com, the online marketplace where sponsors and podcasters can come together and collaborate on your show. Everything from topical discussions to guest interviews to giveaways and contests, or you could do a host read pre-roll, mid-roll, or post-roll for your show for the brand that is willing to come onto your show. Get onto podcorn.com, sign up, send over your RSS link just so they know which platform you're using, and then you can start promoting your pitch to sponsors on podcorn.com. You can also follow yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. Every week on the blog, you will see the links for the show, and you will see podcorn.com. Or you can just use the internet itself and start learning more about how getting sponsors to come to the table and talk with you. That's Podcorn, PODCORN.com. Changing the game, podcasts, and for sponsors to finally collaborate. That is Podcorn.com. Sign up today. Broadcasting live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We apologize for the delay. The Blockhead has been on the road and on the go quite a bit, and he has seen what you are seeing. And maybe you come here tonight just for some reassurance. Maybe you just want to hear my takes. I'm going to try to detract you and distract you just a little bit, I guess, before you guys drift off, before you go to sleep. Or if you hear this tomorrow morning, then great. Thank you guys for coming by. This is Your Favorite Blockhead. This is the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. Before I even get into what you guys already know, I'm not going to have any information you don't already know. I'm going to instead start this episode with a recap. Just of yours truly, spring break. Well, we go out to see the folks out in West Texas. And there is an impulse to go out to what's called the Cadillac Ranch. If you've never been out to this, it is worth your time to get a can of spray paint and just go out and be an artist slash graffiti artist, do whatever damage you wish or see fit. However, these cars have had so many years of weather conditions and so many coats of paint that have been caked on upon decades. But if you're following across Facebook, you might have noticed that there was a particular piece of artwork close to the bumper on one of those on the back. And yes, that's a free plug to the podcast. If you happen to be on Facebook that are following me, or if you are on Instagram, I did share that picture of the YFB logo. We tried the other one. Actually started trying to do the one that is on the podcast with the compass rose that has the thought bubble on the inside. Just didn't quite work out with that. So plan B was to go with what you would see on Facebook. It's just a simple YFB logo that's out there on the Cadillac Ranch. Anybody that goes by that might just take a brief look and go, oh, that's nice. And those of you that are listening to the show that are part of the nation, and you know that we left the insignia behind. As far as going to Paladuro Canyon, now, this one was a scenic route that we all took, to say the least. We climb up to the top of where what's called the lighthouse. Now, the climb up was a bit excruciating. On the way back was even more interesting. Now, there is a inside joke that's going on between the little redhead girl and your favorite blockhead. And that happens to be something called the Brown Day New. The only way that I could possibly explain this to you is to walk you through something that happened in one of the episodes of Britain's Got Talent. Now, in one of these particular episodes, there is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Methane, a 42-year-old man, who strives to sing the Blue Danube using his posterior. Not even making this up. Simon Cowell's exact words when this was over was he was a disgusting creature. Verbatim. Well, the joke is that we slid down the side of this semi-mountain, the side of this canyon, this very slippery silt and fallen rock, and we end up getting a lot of brown on the back of our britches, or our pant legs, to say the least. Especially yours truly. As I'm walking along, the little redhead girl wants to get pictures of this, so I decide to oblige, and I start to mention the brown Danube. Well, that way, if some of you happen to want to actually see this for yourself, if you want to see the, quote, dance that your favorite blockhead did for the little redhead girl, all you gotta do is DM me. All you gotta do is send me a direct message, and I will send you the link. You will understand the reference that I am referring to as I say, there is a brown Danube. Now, in this case, I am literally carrying the soil and the canyon of the Paladuro Canyon. But on the flip side of that, this gentleman, Mr. Methane, who got three huge X's in Britain's Got Talent, is actually playing the original blue Danube with his posterior, and that was all we could sit to think, as this is more like a brown Danube. I think it was even mentioned by one of the guys on the way out, you might want to check your britches on the way out. He said, I will do, thank you so much for your time. But a 42-year-old man doing this versus a 35-year-old man sliding down the side of a canyon on his posterior and referencing a brown Danube will not make any sense unless you hear this part of the show. And again, if you're not following me, yes, your favorite blockhead slid down the side of Paladuro Canyon and picked up a lot of the gravel and a lot of the brown dirt on his way down. And there is substantial evidence of this in the video that your favorite blockhead's little redhead girl happens to have on file. And if you do want to see this particular dance, then all you gotta do is direct message me, send me a message on Facebook, send me a message on Twitter, and I will specifically send you the video. If you don't, then you're gonna have to leave that to your imagination, because I'm not gonna send this out to the masses. And as we get into further, now, on this trip, the hope is to sit down and enjoy several books that are available. Four of them that I'm reading right now. One of them happens to be a book called Dangerous Prayers by a man named Craig Groeschel. Now, that would be my spiritual book that I'm reading now for my faith walk. There happens to be another one that we found while we were there, while we were in Canyon, Texas, at a small bookshop called The Faces of Revolution. Now, this is by a man named Bernard Balin. There's really no other way to explain that this man is the go-to guy for the American Revolution. Even the gentleman that has won the Pulitzer Prize for the radicalism of the American Revolution, Gordon Wood, who I've referenced, has referenced Bernard Balin many times. This man's won two Pulitzer Prizes for his work. This one is a brief synopsis of Faces and Themes during the American Struggle for Independence. So it happened to be one that I lent out to a friend, not going to name who, nothing against it. It's just one of those, when you lend out a book to somebody and you don't ask for it over a period of not months but years, then that technically becomes their book. I think you know that there is some unspoken word there. Why is it worth even digging that up? Well, it happened to be on the shelf and now it's back on my shelf. But the big one I want to reference tonight happens to be a book that is about courtship. The name of the book is literally called From the Front Porch to the Back Seat. Cannot make this up. And in academia, this one was done through several university presses, and it really covered how from the 1920s, especially on into what's called the sexual revolution of the 1960s, you'd have these changes that happen. During the Depression, you have a hard time getting any kind of courtship and dates from men that do not have the money to go on a date, nor did anybody else in America for that matter. But then as you get into World War II, you have a different type of cooperation that happens, where all of our men are overseas and the ones that are left behind are a bunch of what you call 4F rejects. And I don't mean to make that sound like that's anything derogatory, but the truth of the matter is the military wanted the best of the best, and they're all gone, and the men are outnumbered by the women 1-7 in the United States. It's even more depressing in places like universities. So in that time period, there's this idea of cooperation, but when you start to get your way into the 50s and 60s, into this revolution that happens, you do have a time where we are going back into competition, where there is something called going steady. And it does mean something. Why am I bringing all that up about cooperation versus competition? I am relaying that into the next part of this episode. Because maybe, just maybe, it took a cause like this for us to finally start showing some cooperation versus a overabundance of selfish competition. This episode of the show is sponsored by Fruit of the Bean Coffee, the online coffee producer that not only will satisfy your morning craving for a delicious fresh brew of coffee, but also is changing the world for the better with a 10% give back policy. When you purchase whole or ground roast coffee from Fruit of the Bean, you are also contributing to charities that Fruit of the Bean cherishes, such as the Christian Alliance for Orphans, Project Rescue, and others. Check out the link at yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog and check out Fruit of the Bean to learn more about what you, the Blockhead Nation, can do for this organization, where you can drink coffee and do good. That's fruitofthebean.com. Go there today. Our scripture of the day comes from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, only a few things I can say about what's going on in our nation tonight. When I first started watching the press conference, the State of the Union, I keep wanting to say press conference because I'm so anxious to talk about MMA, but when I'm watching the address to the nation by President Trump, and then I go and see in our hometown, my family's hometown, and everywhere in between, do you remember that scene from Toy Story where the birthday guests have showed up and Woody looks at the group and says, "Stay calm, everybody." And they all rush past him in a frenzy, and he goes, "Meeting adjourned." In a way, that has been what the response I'm seeing that's happening. And again, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't already see and can't figure out for yourself. But all I've done is gone back and looked at the fruits of the Spirit. Not one of those is fear. Hasn't changed. Not one of those was panic. Certainly wasn't covetous, nor hoarding. There were any of those. So the experts in society are saying, calm down, there's nothing to worry about, but society is showing the Murphy's Law, the complete opposite effect. Or those of you who are sitting home, and you see what I see. There's not going to be no revelation on this podcast. I'm scratching my head just as much as you are, and I hurt for those that truly are facing this tragedy. I hurt where this should be a time of cooperation, where we indulge in selflessness. Instead, there are people, we got up to our cashier tonight when we went to Walmart, and she says we are the first ones that asked about how she was doing. And maybe, just maybe, I can also go into everything about sports, but I will tell you with this podcast that even though there's no crowds, MMA is still streaming. Now, Bellator has postponed their current day fight for the featherweight division, and they are moving it to a new arena come May. That doesn't mean that it's canceled completely, just postponed. Can live with that. And also, the streaming live with nobody in the audience, you can actually hear the action going on with Damian Maia's fight, or with Kevin Lee, whether he ended up not knowing that he tapped or he did tap. Either way, you're not going to really argue with a referee like Mike Beltran. Either way, these events have already happened and the streaming's already happened, but MMA has not screeched to a halt. And I'm thankful for that. If ever there was a time that maybe Blockhead could convince you, hey, you might want to start considering looking into the world of MMA, whether it's Bellator or UFC, then I can point you in the right direction. This seems to be one, because some of y'all are big into YouTube. Well, If you are a YouTube fan, are you familiar with a guy named Logan Paul? Well, he got his clock cleaned in a sparring session with a UFC fighter by the name of Paulo Costa. Now, again, I'm getting off of the coronavirus just because I know some of y'all need the distraction, just because I know that I'm not going to bring any more revelations to you, that you see what you see. You're going to have your own opinion. It's just one of those when I read about this idea of cooperation versus competition, even in times of something as simple as courtship. I mean, my gosh, the greatest generation was able to figure it out. It's sad that I mentioned on the Curiosity Channel that it takes a tragedy to bring us together, but this one, this epidemic, is a very different one, and I'm still trying to piece the puzzle pieces together. And, you know, but bring it back to Paulo Costa. Paulo Costa is supposed to be fighting the winner of Israel Adesanya versus Yoel Romero, and we have a snooze fest on that fight. Yoel Romero barely fights. Israel Adesanya wants to point to Paulo Costa for his next guy, and he's not in the audience. Now, there have been mixed reactions. Ariel Helwani is saying that he actually stormed the cage at the very end and was taken off by security. I've also heard from other sources that he just left, and he did a quick press conference afterwards, post-fight, and just said that he was so sad with what he saw with Yoel Romero. Kind of hard to piece that one together, too. But this same guy that's stressed out about the middleweights that's going on is literally the same guy who just knocked out Logan Paul. So if anybody needs to know who this guy is, I'll help you out. He's a middleweight by the name of Paulo Costa, who could easily be a light heavyweight fighter. If you need a little bit of assurance there, Logan Paul certainly thought he was going to give Sage Northcutt a run for his money. I don't think you have any chance at this point, buddy. Now, as we get to the last part that I really want to discuss, even though the fight between Adesanya and Yoel Romero is a letdown, cannot say the same thing for possibly the greatest female fight in the history of MMA. That's saying a lot. You want validation? Joe Rogan interviews Zhang Weili, the current-day Chinese champion, after the fight. First thing out of his mouth, one of the greatest bouts, if not the greatest bout I have ever called in female MMA, ever. That's not verbatim, but it's pretty close to what he says. And of course, post-fight, Zhang is going to give an update saying that she has been quarantined a couple of times, being in China, and she... and I quote, said that the coronavirus is getting better. We're going to keep fighting this together. It's sad how the most powerful man in the world, surrounded by the greatest doctors, physicians, and businessmen in the world, cannot bring assurance to the masses. Even a female fighter who just gave her greatest performance of all time is not able to talk some sense into us. If anybody has the ability to say that the coronavirus is contained and is better under control, wouldn't it be Zhang Weili? I mean, you tell me. But Zhang Weili versus Joanna, I'm going to butcher her last name by saying it, but I usually refer to her as JJ. But literally, Joanna versus Zhang belongs already in the MMA greatest fights of all time. It belongs in the Hall of Fame. Now, there is such thing as a Fighter Hall of Fame and a Fights MMA. Fights Hall of Fame. Most of you that have followed MMA since the pioneer days, since the early Zuffa days, know about the Trojan horse that was Stephen Bonner versus Forrest Griffin at the end of The Ultimate Fighter. This is the fight that has everybody tuning in and going, are you watching these guys? And they are just in the pocket, just landing bombs left and right the whole time. There is no let up from either guy. And somebody has to get to the decision. And the decision goes to Forrest Griffin. Dana White does not overlook that fight. He has a picture of that still in his day, in his office, showing that we could have lost the entire organization if not for the grit and the determination and the heart and the fight that these two put on that night. I think they ended up going and doing The Ultimate Fighter 2 that night behind the scenes on a napkin, if I'm not mistaken. Right there on what's our next plan for you for The Ultimate Fighter 2. That one's in the Hall of Fame. Another one that just ironically just got introduced as a Hall of Fame fight. John Jones versus Alexander Gustafsson 1. That's another one. They're both throwing bombs. They're in the pocket. There's no let up on either side. Somebody has to get a decision. And we can still go back and look and say, Gus maybe did win that fight. Either way, John Jones walks away with the decision, no matter what happens in the second go-around. You can look at the fight between Johnny Hendricks and George St. Pierre and say GSP got the decision, and people will think that Johnny Hendricks got robbed. Either way, sometimes the way it goes, you can't leave it in the hands of the judges for a decision, especially when it's that razor close, but what are you going to do? There is going to have to be a decision made at the end of the night. Finally, you have what just happened. The UFC 248 co-main event. If Israel Adesanya and Yoel Romero cannot perform, the ladies certainly showed up that night. And the story of Zhang being able to make it through quarantines and get through China and finally make her way to America to fight with no excuses and gets in there and has those dominant hits, even though I guess you can give it to Joanna as far as accuracy, you could see the obvious power on Zhang's side. But either way, somebody has to go to a decision. A split decision win for Zhang. That's phenomenal. And that's the only follow-up that I can give you at this point, because now MMA is going to move forward. It's not brought to a halt, but it is going to be moving along with the changes as necessary. But Dana White says, I don't care about this thing. We are stronger than this virus. Are we as a society going to keep going down that route of competition, or are we going to stem towards cooperation? Are we going to look at it and say, we are strong and courageous and you are not going to defeat us? And again, I'm sure there are going to be some that listen to this podcast and go up in arms. Really, my intent was to get you away from all of what you already know. The hope I have for you is in the scripture of the day. The hope I have for you is that you continue to enjoy this, even though I'm not going to knock this one out of the park, because this has been a long week when you've been going, and finally I can sit down and put this on the podcast. And I'm thankful that the Blockhead Nation wants to give me the time of day. But nonetheless, experts versus society. A few fun facts on MMA. And if you still want to see this video of what's called the Brown Day Noob, then you are more than welcome to DM me and we will go from there. Either way, I thank you for your time. I thank you for this journey, and I'm thankful that MMA is still there when all the other sports have decided to cancel or close their doors. Dana White has stepped forward and said, we're here and we're ready to roll. Scott Coker has said, we're going to plan accordingly, but my staff is going to be compensated, the fighters are going to be compensated, and we're going to open our doors for an arena in May. Stay tuned. And just like you stay tuned here, we will come back with more updated news. We will give you a lot more. I can tell you another thing, that if you want to find one, another place to go is The Athletic. Guys, there is a great podcast that's on there. If you just go to The Athletic, you can follow any sports you want. But for MMA, there's an emphatic group of guys called The Man and the Myth. And soon after post-248 happens, these guys come out and they're emphatically speaking about nothing but the co-main event. And they come back and they go, I don't know, I had to give it more 2-3 Joanna at this point. They're still debating on it. Somebody's going to walk away with a decision. But you have a Hall of Fame fight, easily, possibly, candidate for fight of the year that just happened. Good for the girls in MMA. Good for the female fighters. And I hope you will continue to consider taking a look at what UFC looks like with no crowds, just mainstreaming, until we get this resolved and we come out the other end. And maybe some of you would be smart enough to go in and buy some stock during this time, since this is a downtime, if you want, before the gas war start up again. And on that note, this has been your favorite Blockhead, and we'll see you guys again next time. Same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.